الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين
اللهم صل على
محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين Before I begin the class, I'd like to welcome distinguished guest Malim Qasim Ali Chandu, for those of you who don't know him. Malim, we get here together to discuss tafsir of certain verses of the Holy Quran. And this class, with the attendance you see here, has been going on for 3 years, alhamdulillah. If during the course of the class, Malim, if you find we are anywhere we would like to learn from your experiences and your knowledge, inshallah. Right. Continuing from Wilayat and Imamat that we were doing last week. Unfortunately, many of you were not there last week. But we finished the 5 verses that talk about the Wilayat of Imam Ali al-Islam. And now to carry on from there, there has to be from the Quran some indication where there is continuity after the first Imam. So when we say we believe in 12 Imams, from the Holy Quran, we have to have some indication from the Quran that after appointing Imam Ali al-Islam, where does it go next? Does there have to be a successor of the Holy Prophet at all times? And it is these verses that prove the Shiite belief that the Imam is alive. The Imam has to be present, based on conclusion derived from the Quran. Right? And these are important verses. These are verses that we have already gone through them. So we will not dwell on them, but you will see that these verses indicate that something, someone, somebody who fits the bill, somebody who fits the categories described, has to be present for us to apply the verses in our lives. And that gives us the indication. You see, the Sunnis believe that the Imam has yet to come. And mind you, when we talk of the 12th Imam that we will see today, inshallah, the 12th Imam's establishing of the kingdom of Islam or the rule of Islam is an accepted belief by all Muslims, Sunnis and Shias alike.
So who do they think the other 11 Imams are?
Sorry?
Who do they think the other 11 Imams are?
No, they believe that a Mahdi will come from the family of Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Holy Prophet.
They don't necessarily believe the 12th one.
No. They believe Al-Qa'im min Ali Muhammad. Right? He will come during the last days to establish peace and justice the way the earth has been filled with kama muliat dhulman wa jawra. Right? The way it has been filled with injustice. So, they believe as well. We are asking for this state just now that we believe in an Imam who is present. So what indication is there from the Quran to show that continuity, that Imam has to be present at all times? Now, some verses we have already done. Right? Can anybody recall any verses that would give us the indication that right now the Imam has to be present in order to fulfill the verses, the promise that are there in the verses? Ahsan. What does it start with? Innama anta munzirun. Walikulli qawmin had. Do you remember the verse? The verse that says to the Holy Prophet that you are a person who has come to give warning. Walikulli qawmin had. We discussed this verse, that this verse in Arabic, because it has changed, it does not say that you are the guide and the person who is to warn. It says that you are the person who has been sent to warn, and every community will have a guide. Every people will have a guide. So we, as a qawm, are entitled to a guide. And when we look at Had, we looked at the qualities. Had in is guide, spiritual guide. So that is the first verse. I am taking you through the verses that we have already done. Right? Innama anta munzirun wa likulli qawmin had. That is one verse. What are the verse that we have already done that shows that there has to be continuity? That shows that Imam has to be alive. That shows that there has to be an Imam for every era, as promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was Inni Ja'iluka Linnasi Imama. The verse that says Inni Ja'iluka Linnasi Imama was a specific verse revealed to? Come on. You know what the verse means? The verse says that I am making you for the people an imam. Inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama. This verse was revealed to? Come on, guys.
Char fere answer rapidly.
Kon? Ask the wallet. Just the wallet or someone.
I'm glad they're hearing
you. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So it is a specific one. And if from it we derive, you know, who is an imam? The Prophet Ibrahim was granted the status of an imam after being a prophet, then being Ulul Azam, then being Khalil, and then being imam. So from that we got the status of an imam. But that was a specific verse for Prophet Ibrahim. We are looking at verses that indicate to us that during our lives, in order to apply these verses, there must be an imam. Let's not waste much time. Surah An-Nisa, verse 59. These are verses you have already done. Surah An-Nisa, verse number 59. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasulah. وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Right? أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ are those who have been given the authority to rule. Okay, we proved in this verse, based on the riwayat and the hadith, that this verse refers to Imam Ali al-Islam. But that is then. What about now? When I read the verse, it tells me, obey Allah and obey the Holy Prophet and obey those who have been given authority, those who have been granted authority over me. So who are those Ulul Amr? Who are those Ashabul Amr? Right?
Literally, what does it mean, Ulul Amr? The people who have authority, who have been given authority, who possess, what's the actual word mean?
It's a good question. Depends on what you mean by authority. People who have been given authority or people who have authority.
Because this is, the Sunni say this means anybody who's a king.
That's how it is being applied in many, circumstances. That people who are ruling, if you go to the Middle East, the Gulf region, right, those who are ruling are considered as Ulul Amr. Right? Because even the Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas used to adopt the title Amir al-Mu'mineen. Again, it comes from the same word of Amr, Amir al-Mu'mineen. That means they are in charge of the Amr of believers, of Mu'mineen. So it has been taken to apply as those who have the authority. Whereas it actually means those who have been given the authority by Allah to take the authority.
Does that actually mean that? To be sure, this is what it means. That's the thing.
No, that's the word, of course. This is.
What does Ulul mean?
Ulul means owner of, sahib, possessor of. Ulul albab. Ulul albab means those who have intellect. So ulu is plural of those who have, those who possess. Now, ulul amr, Allah's command is that we follow those who have the authority. Right? But how do we decide? And that was where we were discussing. That how do we decide who has the authority? And we went back to Ghadir where the Holy Prophet said, فَمَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَاهَ فَهَذَا عَلِيٌّ مَوْلَاهُ. Again, the same word used. أَلَسْتُ أَوْلَى بِكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Do I not have more authority over you than you have over yourselves? The word أَوْلَى itself came up there. And then we used it to use the word مَوْلَى. And that is where أُولُو الْأَمْرِ comes from. Right? This is one verse. The second verse is Surah At-Tawbah 119, in which we have again done this verse as well. So I won't dwell on to, don't spend much time on it. Which says, Kunu ma'as sadiqeen, Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 119, which is 9119. Kunu ma'as sadiqeen, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. So this is an open address to all those who believe that fear Allah or have taqwa and be with the righteous ones. Now you remember when we were talking about sadiqeen, we explained as to who the sadiqeen were. And this again verse shows that if today I was to apply this verse, that I am supposed to be with those who are the rightful ones. Who are those rightful ones? Right? Now we have already talked about this. We have already talked about how the ismat is proved from this verse. Who is sadiq and who is kadhib and all that. So I am not going to go into that again. Now, today, we're going to look at something like three or four different verses which talks of the fadail of Ahlul Bayt in general. Ahlul Bayt bima fihim, meaning as in the Holy Prophet and his family. When we say our salawat, when we talk of Ahlul Bayt, is there any reference in the Holy Quran? Not only the Imams that we're talking of, but we're talking of Ahlul Bayt starting from the Holy Prophet, Imam Ali, Bibi Fatima, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and then Imam Hussein's sons, the Imams. Verse number 59 of Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah number 33, verse 59. 33? It's not 59, I think it's 56. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Now, this does not have an open, this is a certain fact, yeah? This does not have an open reference to the household of the Holy Prophet in the verse. The verse says that Allah is sending blessings on His messenger. So those of you who believe, send blessings on him, right? This is very clear. But in every hadith that we find when the Holy Prophet was asked that how do we send salawat on you? Because when this order came from Allah that send salawat on him, they asked the Holy Prophet, how do we do that? What do we say so that we have fulfilled this order by Allah that we have to send salawat on you? And everywhere you find, and when I say everywhere, I mean Sunnis and Shias alike, because even the Sunnis, when they recite namaz, when the time for salawat comes in tashahud, the way they recite is the way we recite, in different wordings, but it comes to the conclusion that it is Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. This is our shorter version. The Shias have shortened it. I mean, this is based on a hadith by the Holy Prophet. But when the Sunnis say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallayta wa barakta ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. That is the complete salawat. That when the Prophet taught them that you recite the salawat, the words taught were including ali Muhammad. Now I'm going to read a hadith. This is Ibn Hajar fi Sawa'iq al-Muhriqa. Sawa'iq al-Muhriqa, you know the book. Right? Ibn Hajar in Sawa'iq al-Muhriqa says that the Holy Prophet has said, La tusallu alayya salat al-batra. Do not recite prayers over me. That prayers that you send to me, that salawat that you send to me. La tusallu alayya salat al-batra. Al-batra is cut, you know, something that is abrupt. Something like abtar, you know, when we have inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fa salli li rabbika wanhar inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. Right? Put me over. So la tusallu alayya salat al-batra. Qalu wa ma salat al-batra? What is this salah? Qala taquluna Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa tamsikun. That means you just say Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Allahumma salli ala Muhammad and then keep silent. Bal qulu Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. This is Ibn Hajar in Sawa'iq al-Muhriqa. The hadith that says that when you recite salawat over the Holy Prophet, don't be miserly by just saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. You say wa ala ali Muhammad. You know, the Sunnis have so much emphasis on this, and if you read their salawat in tashahud, you take a book of salah, of prayers from any madhab, right? You will find this long salawat in tashahud where they recite salawat over the Prophet and his al, كَأَفْضَلِ مَا صَلَّيْتَ وَبَارَكْتَ وَتَرَحَّمْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ, right? This long salawat, so much so that Imam Shafi'i, the famous words of Imam Shafi'i, you've got to know this. Imam Shafi'i is the Sunni Imam, we all know him, but this is his famous poem that says, يَا أَهْلَ بَيْتَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ حُبُّكُمُ, that oh, the Ahl Bayt of the Messenger of Allah, your love, فَرْضٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ أَنزَلَهُ, it is a fard, an obligation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has revealed in the Quran. كَفَاكُم مِّنْ عَظِيمِ الْقَدْرِ أَنَّكُمُ, enough for you, for your status, that مَنْ لَمْ يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ لَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ, that who does not recite salawat over you, he has no prayers at all, because his prayers will be incomplete. And we know even in our madhab, in our fiqh as well, when you recite the namaz, that tashahud, salawat after tashahud is wajib. Similarly, they also have to recite it. When they recite it, they also recite the same way that we recite, except in prolonged form, which we can do also. So that this verse is accepted by historians, Sunni and Shias alike, that when this verse was revealed, Surah Ahzab, verse number 56, when it was revealed with the instructions to recite salawat over the Holy Prophet actually taught everybody then and up to now the practice is that when we recite salawat over the Holy Prophet and his progeny. Right. Shall I go on or are there any questions? Philosophy of salawat. Can I develop further on the philosophy of salawat? You see, the philosophy of salawat, I am sure the question is intended to clarify a few things. That when we recite salawat, are they in need of salawat, for example? Are they in need of the prayers or blessings? They are not in need of prayers. In Usul-e-Kafi, the hadith that has been explained, that the Prophet says where he and Ali alayhi salam are the roots of a tree, and the Ahlul Bayt are the branches that come out, and the leaves are the ummah, that is us. And he says, when you want to water the leaves, when you want the leaves to be bright and green, what you do is you water the roots, you don't pour water over the leaves. He gave that example to show that when you recite salawat, the return comes back to us, because they are not in need of anything. We benefit from the salawat that when we recite the salawat. So basically, whenever we recite salawat, and you will find so many ahadiths, this is not the place to go into it, but there are so many ahadiths that tell us that you recite salawat at times when you forget you recite salawat, you will remember. At times of difficulties, take out tasbihs of salawat, and so on. These salawat are so important. There is a hadith that says that if you want to remove all traces of hypocrisy from your heart, then whenever you recite salawat, recite it loudly. Not slowly, not because you are embarrassed or shy that you are reciting it loudly. If you want to remove all traces of hypocrisy, recite it loudly when you recite salawat. There are so many hadiths about salawat. So salawat is something that when we recite, we are in fact upgrading our own status in the eyes of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. And when we do that, the reward comes back to us. Right? Can we have a loud salawat? Right. Surah An-Nur, Surah number 24. Starting from verse number 35. Look at verse number 35. Verse number 35 is a verse that describes Allah. Right? Surah An-Nur, verse number 35 is talking about Allah. Allahu nuru as-samawati wal-ard. مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم. This is describing Allah, the light of Allah, the brightness of the radiance of the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the verse that comes thereafter immediately? The verse that comes thereafter immediately says, فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْآصَالِ. Right? In those houses. Which houses? In houses, this is blame. In houses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted that His remembrance and His name is raised. Look at verse 37. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Ayatullah Nasir Makarim Shirazi in his book Nafahat al-Qur'an, Min Nafahat al-Qur'an, he makes this connection and says that Allahu Nurun, that is the beginning of the first verse, 35. Then it goes to Fi Buyutin, and then it goes to Rijalun. The rijalun, the men who are not obsessed by business or by dealings, right? And then the verse goes on to describe. He says, Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi in his book says that this verse is referring to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And that is when you want to find the path that will take you to the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to go to these houses in which His name is being raised high. And these are the houses of those people who are not obsessed by any kind of business or any kind of worldly things. That is the connection he makes. Any questions?
What proof does he give for this? What proof does he give for this connection?
What proof does he give to this? Interesting question. Let me look up the riwayat. He refers to a riwayat, of course, yeah? Right. You know Tafsir al-Suyuti, we have talked about Dur al-Manthur, Tafsir of Suyuti. Now Suyuti is somebody who does Tafsir when any riwayat he quotes from Sihah Sitta, from the six Sihah. Dur al-Manthur, the riwayats that are there are mainly from the Sihah Sitta. يَنْقَلَ السُّيُوتِ فِي تَفْسِيرِ الدُّرِ الْمَنْثُورِ عَنْ أَنَسْ بِنْ مَالِكِ وَبُرَيْدَةِ وَهُمَا مِنْ صَحَابَةِ الرَّسُولِ. These are two companions of the Holy Prophet. I hope by now you are beginning to understand some Arabic. Huh? Samajh padhe? Why the blank? Come on. إِنَّهُ عَنَّمَا تَلَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ هَذِهِ الْآيَةَ قَامَ رَجُلٌ وَقَالَ أَيُّ بُيُوتٍ هَذِهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. When the Holy Prophet recited these verses, a man stood up and said, أَيُّ بُيُوتٍ هَذِهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Which houses are these, O Holy Prophet? قَالَ الرَّسُولُ بُيُوتُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ فَقَامَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. The Holy Prophet said, these are the houses of the Prophets, بُيُوتُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. فَقَامَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. وقال أبو بكر stood up and asked هذا البيت منها لبيت علي وفاطمة question mark. These houses, do they include the house of Ali and Fatima? قال نعم من أفاضلها. He says yes, amongst the best ones. Right. So this is one main riwayat I can give you. I mean, there are many other riwayats here. حاتم الحسكاني in شواهد التنزيل. Shawahid al-Tanzil, we've discussed this book last time.
Yeah,
Tafsir Masih Abad. Oh, you haven't noted.
Take that seat, 1596.
It is also there.
Yeah.
All references are given there.
Well, you just mentioned that after you mentioned that the prophet requested, I have to look at the priest.
This is referring to not to Imam Baras and mosques. This is referring to, you see, the mosques are Baytullah. Right. These are houses, our plate. Do you have a French market like this?
Mosque.
So, the English for mosque like this?
But you can tell it means houses.
Sorry?
You can tell it means houses because thereafter it refers to men. It wouldn't refer to men if it was mosque.
But does it say mosques in the English translation?
Yes.
It just says houses. Right. I go on to the next verse. I want to finish these verses because we have to then go on to the 12th Imam, the verses that show the presence, or rather the about the 12th Imam, and then we go on to an Islamic government. Yeah. Surah Al-Fatiha, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين نعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. This particular tafsir of this verse, we have done this verse at length, right? But just to read you a quotation from Shawahid al-Tanzil. Again, Shawahid al-Tanzil is a book by Al-Hakim Al-Hiskani, which is a book that compiles all the reasons of revelation, of why these were revealed, Shawahid al-Tanzil. In Shawahid al-Tanzil, when the Holy Prophet was asked, Sirat al-Ladina na'amta alayhim, this Sirat al-Mustaqim that you're talking of, right? What Sirat is that? قال الرسول هو النبي ومن معه علي بن أبي طالب وشيعته. This is in the Sunni book. So you can imagine صراط المستقيم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. This is referring to a set path, a particular path in which Allah has endowed them with blessings, and that they are not led astray, nor is Allah angry with them and all that, right? This particular path, the hadith says, the Holy Prophet said, is the path that he and Imam Ali and their followers have chosen, right? So that is another verse that talks about Ahlul Bayt. And the last verse I want to talk about is verse number 7, verse number 2, surah number 2, verse 37. Now the verse is talking about Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مَنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, when he did what he did, we don't want to go into that because we have done that already. And then he repented, and he wanted to seek pardon from Allah. What did he do? فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مَنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. He received certain words. And it was with these words that Allah pardoned him. Allah accepted him back. Again, we refer to Suyuti, Fiddur al-Manthur, at the end of this, at the bottom of this verse. Verse number, surah number 2, verse 37. He says, An Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas is a famous commentator, a companion of the Holy Prophet. أني سألت رسول الله, that I asked the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عن الكلمات التي تلقاها آدم من ربه فتاب عليه. Ibn Abbas says, I asked the Holy Prophet about these words that Adam received from Allah so that he forgave him. قَالَ سَأَلَ. Now this is the Holy Prophet saying, قَالَ سَأَلَ بِحَقِّ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِيٍّ وَفَاطِمَةَ وَالْحَسَنِ وَالْحُسَيْنِ أَلَا تُبْتَ عَلَيْهِ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. This is Imam, this is the Holy Prophet saying that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam said on that day that I ask you by the haqq of Ali. And again, if you remember, we were doing this, Jibreel came to him with certain words. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتِ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Now, there are other tafsirs, please. This is from the riwayat. There are other tafsirs that people say the words that Adam received, or rather with which he asked for forgiveness, are within the, what you call, in the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, verse 23. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمَنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Some of the Mufassireen say that these are the words that Adam recited, right? But there is a riwayat, strong riwayat from hadith that I just quoted, that Adam alayhi salam sa'ala bihaqq Muhammadin wa Aliyin wa Fatimata wal Hasani wal Husayni alla tubta alayya fatab alayhi.
But these words in Arab, they didn't say these words, right? So what, those are the words for additional words?
Well, whether he said these words, this is the Arabicization of those words, I believe.
No, you're talking about Bihaqq Ali. That's not mentioned here.
Or?
What has Adam said?
Mm-hmm. It's not mentioned in the one.
No, what you're saying with the words that he spoke.
Yeah.
You're saying that the hadith says they're different from these words.
Different to which words?
Well, the ones in Surah Araf, verse 23.
No, some Mufassireen say that the words referred to in 237
right.
are the words that are recorded in 7 Surah Al-A'raf, right? Other Mufassireen say no. According to Hadith, the Holy Prophet has said that in verse 237, when he was asked about these words, the Holy Prophet said, Adam asked using these words, بحق يا محمد وعلي وفاطمة والحسن.
In addition to the ones...
Those words, of course, those were the words they were chanting. Yeah, those were a recording of what they did say, right? But the reference made to is certain words coming from Allah, right? These words were from them, whether they were taught by Allah or not. That is the shady area. Yeah. Nothing. Right. Last time I had said. Okay, we will look at the references of the 12 Imams' names that are given. But the last time I said by mistake, I think Kanzul Ummal. Kanzul Ummal Manati. It is not in Kanzul Ummal, it is in Yanabi'ul Mawadda. Yanabi'ul Mawadda has quoted two ahadiths from two different companions. The names of the 12 Imams. Now again, Yanabi al-Mawadda, I'm not talking of Shia sources, I'm talking of Sunni sources. Yanabi al-Mawadda is a Sunni source. Sulaiman bin Ibrahim al-Qanduzi al-Hanafi. That is the name of the author, Yanabi al-Mawadda. Yanabi al-Mawadda is a famous book in which there are two ahadiths. The first one is on the authority of Ibn Abbas, that a Jewish person came, a Yahudiyan. Came to the Holy Prophet and said, أخبرني عن وصيك من هو فما من نبي إلا وله وصي. Tell me who is your successor, for every prophet has to have a successor. وإن نبينا موسى بن عمران أوصى يوشع بن نون. Right, that موسى بن عمران left behind يوشع بن نون. فقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن وصي علي بن أبي طالب وبعده صبايا الحسن والحسين تتلوه تسعة أئمة من صلب الحسين. Then he named all the imams. So he said that after me it is Ali, and then after Ali is my two grandson Hassan and Hussein, and after him nine others from the sons of Hussein عليه السلام. And he mentioned all the names. And the second hadith is from Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, which I said last time, because it's quite a famous one, where Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari was talking to the Holy Prophet, and the Holy Prophet is telling him, "Do you not wish that I tell you?" And he told him, and he told him, and Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari reports this. Again, all the 12 names are found in Yanabi'ul Mawadda. Any questions? No questions.
Last time we were talking about the hadith
in
Bukhari.
About the figure
12. I think that's a very important hadith for everybody to know. Because obviously, you know, if you argue from Bukhari with Ahlul Sunnah, they are more likely to take into account. And it's a difficult hadith for them to actually explain in any other way. Because in that it's clearly found that the Prophet said, "After me, there will be
12 successors.
Yeah, you see the thing.
And they told me the 12, the 11 will come Quraysh, and the 12 will be Imam Mahdi will be Quraysh.
You see, this book, Ikeshek, they have named them that Abu Bakr, Omar, and all these will be there.
They can't come to 12.
They can't.
Guaranteed.
You see, one of the books written by.
They have had clips from until 1936, it was.
Yeah, but they are more than 12. So.
Yeah, but they say someone from Quraysh, someone from, you know, that.
There are successors to the Holy Prophet, there are 12. And all of them are from Quraysh.
You see, Murtaza al-Askari written a book called The 12 Successors. Right? A little booklet. And he has given all the main Sunni attempts to try to come to the number 12 by the famous Sunni writers, and they cannot come to that number because, like, some of them drop out. For example, they say the four Khulafa'i Rashidin, yeah? And then Imam Hassan, and then Muawiyah, but not Yazid. And then they include Omar ibn Abdul Aziz. So, but there is no basis on which they are doing that. You can't drop some, pick some, because they are more than 12. And he gives all the different reasons. I think this booklet should be read. It's on the net, on alislam.org. It's called The 12 Successors. It's a good discussion argument with the Sunni friends who say, well, this is there, and as far as we know, we are the 12 Shia who are following this hadith. How else do you explain this hadith? Because Yanabi al-Muwadda, they might consider as a secondary source.
Not a very authentic source, yeah. That's the only source that has been.
There will be 12.
There is not from one of the Sahaba.
The founder of Quraysh, the 12 founders. There will be only
12.
So that's the
difference. No. That's hadith that says there will be only 12 successors. There will be 12 successors to me. Then the addition, and all of them will be from Quraysh. It is not that 12 from Quraysh will be my successors. There is hadith nothing.
That's the argument you're bringing to me. Because I've seen it in saying Muslim as well. That's the argument you're bringing to me.
وَكُلُّهُمْ مِنْ Quraysh. Right? And all of them will be from Quraysh. So that means that is an addition qualifying. Give away these, I will have 12 successors after me. Sahih Bukhari riwayat go to Shmaya, Amarat Multimani. Just trying to find the exact word.
The reference. You can bring it for next week.
You can bring it for next week,
yes. No, you see, obviously, when the comment after Bukhari was written and accepted, then there was attempt to try to explain this, because it's an important hadith.
It's not on those important books. Okay.
Well, Evache attempts to try to number them, but as I say, for example, they miss out Yazid, and then you find that after Muawiyah, I can't remember who, then they put Omar ibn Abdul Aziz maybe, and then they add one or two more, but they can't come to a number, you see.
No.
Yeah. Abdul Malik bin Marwan na cha chokra tha but to ye baad mein tha
to ke wo imam the 12th
to what about after Usman bin Muawiya the son of Abu Sufyan the Quraysh not in it
he was
so how then it's not 12 of Quraysh you know if you see Muawiya's son Yazid is they can still count him as Quraysh from Quraysh
Yazid is not there. It's interesting that on this Ulul Amr ayat, the fatwa was given against Imam Hussein alayhi salam at the time of Yazid, that he is a baghi, you know. What's the word? Rebel. He's a rebel, and so he's fighting the one who has got Ulul Amr, who is Yazid. And so he was wajibul qatl, so there was nothing wrong in him. Get the hadith
for next week. Right. Let's go on to verses that talk about our 12th holy Imam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten his reappearance. The first verse is Surah Al-Anbiya, which is Surah number 21, verse number 105-106. وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ That we have mentioned in Zabur. مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ إِنَّ فِي هَذَا لَبَلَاغًا لِقَوْمٍ عَابِدِينَ This is a message to those who are worshippers. Abhi, you've started this class from a long time back now, yeah? You've been amongst those who have come from the first few days. Ayat, the Surah Al-Anbiya is here. With the translation, yeah? What do you think it means? How would you read the verse? How would you think, kibay, what does it imply? Especially related to the subject you're talking about. Subject Karish Imam Mahdi, right? How would you link this verse to that particular topic? Uh-huh. So you think my righteous servants are the imams? Ibadi is plural, remember that. Abdi is one. If you're talking of the 12th imam, there is only one. Ibadi would mean plural. You mean all the imams will inherit the earth? Historically it has not happened. You're talking of what?
All the imams will come return and they will all have their room.
But it's a bit rich though, isn't it? I mean, by the time the righteous come out to inheriting, there'll be nothing left.
Huh?
By the time they come to inheriting, everything's gone. We can't go to the rich. 30,000 years of...
Ibadi as-salih or Ibadi as-salihun is not referring to the imams. It's referring to genuine righteous people, righteous worshippers. They will inherit the earth. If you are, inshallah you are, from Abdus Salih, from a righteous person, right? Allah promises that you will inherit the earth.
What does inherit the earth?
Ah, that's a good one. What does inherit the earth? Yarithuha, what does that mean? Yarithuha literally means inherit. But inherit, what does it mean? Inherit the song. That means the earth will be our possession. Inherit, when I inherit something, that means without doing anything for it, I have got it. Without doing anything for it, I have got it now. Because of my blood relation, blood link with whoever is deceased. When Allah says, inherit the earth, you may not have done anything to claim the earth. But it because it is His, He is giving you the power. Okay, here, this is yours now. So that means you will rule over the earth. you will have whatever you want on the earth because it will be yours. Right? However, that particular scenario has never come, has it? Ajay, if you are given the task of ruling over earth, what would you like? What is your ideas? What are your ideas? What would you like to see on this earth? Granted, there are other people living on this earth, huh? Not that you can take away the ones you don't want and say out. No, it doesn't work that way. Granted, they're there. What would you like of this earth?
Justice.
What are your ideals?
Justice.
He said
justice.
Sabur was
with
him
during time and without. Barabasa.
He had one type
of thing there. Did he? Kya Quran ma nahi mile Quran ma e kan Quran ma che ke ene kingdom dewa ma yut. He was granted a kingdom where he controlled. Right? He had power to control the wind and the insects and the animals. But nowhere will you find that Sulaiman inherited the earth. There is a difference.
What is the difference?
The difference is whilst he has power over everything, the earth is still not his. Jare ama keche ke earth wama fiha wama alayha. Right? Whatever is on top of it, whatever is in it, can be yours. So not only the control will come with it, but it is literally yours. You see, let us study the other verse as well. Because I am saying, better one verse is sathe study kar sune toh maja aus. That inheritance is blood relation. Jerita Sulaiman inherited Dawood, right? So that is blood relation. A son inherits from the father. This one is Allah related to Ibad al-Salihin. The word used in inherit just to show transfer of possession without doing much for it. These are the two key words.
Bearing in mind that the Bible has some fragments of the truth still left in it. When the Christians say the meek shall inherit the earth, do you think that's something?
It's the same thing. That is why وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ. Right? Now he has given so many references from the Psalms of David, where the Bible says so many places the meek shall inherit the earth and all that. Yeah. What does the meek mean? The meek are the good ones.
The righteous one is meant to be meek.
Righteous, so? The righteous always have to be meek. Not necessarily, but that's the way the Bible has translated the word meek. Bible original, mani khabar hai the original. Let's look at Surah An-Nur, Surah number 24, verse 55. Surah An-Nur, Surah number 24, verse number 55. And tell me if the words sound familiar. As you recite the verse, try and associate it with something else you recite. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلِيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. كي دواء ما بريشه؟ دواء افتتاح. استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله. مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له. أبدله من بعد خوفه أمن يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. And these are the same words? These are the same words that we recite for the 12th Imam. Now when we have sent our salawat on the 12th Imam and then we sit down, we start with these words, اِسْتَخْلِفُ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفْتَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مَكِّنْ لَهُ دِينَهُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَيْتَهُ. These words are from the Quran.
Did the 12th Imam recite a verse when he was born, immediately after he was born?
Immediately after he was born?
Yeah.
Recite what?
Did he say something?
Did he say something from the Quran? A word? Which one was that? Wasn't that about he's going to inherit the earth?
No, I don't think.
He recited this one. Ja al haqq wa ma kulla. Ja al haqq.
وزهق الباطل إن الباطل كان زهوقا قل جاء الحق وزهق الباطل إن الباطل كان زهوقا. So what does it mean?
Waiting to translate.
You're waiting for me to translate. You should know these things by now. قل جاء الحق. Truth has arrived and falsehood has been vanquished. إن الباطل كان زهوقا. It was on its way out. Right. That was the verse that the Imam received. This verse, Allah promises here, وَعَدَ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And those of you who have done good deeds, that لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَ اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. You shall remain back, you shall inherit the earth. Right? وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى. You will be enabled, you will be empowered to practice your religion. No fear of either tyrants or despotic rulers, or no fear of peer pressure or society or social pressure. No fear. Fearlessly you will be empowered to practice your religion. In other words, the environment, the atmosphere, the surroundings will be totally conducive to practicing Islam. That is the promise. Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi in this book says that this promise has been to some degree fulfilled during the time of the Prophet, but only in part of this earth. Okay, during that time when the Holy Prophet established that society in Medina, during that time, people in Medina thought, okay, this is what Prophet meant, this is what Allah meant, that we were promised a kingdom, we were promised a government in which we will be able to practice Islam freely. Unlike what was happening in Makkah, we can come here and practice Islam freely in Medina, after having moved to Medina. So, this was the promise to Allah. So that is only one stage of implementation, because it was only in Medina. Then after the Prophet, during the time of Imams and after the ghaibat of the Imam, to some degree we can say, at pockets, certain pockets, there have been areas where such thing was established. But when it comes to the whole earth, where we are now living in an era of globalization, can we safely say that wherever we go on this earth, we can enjoy the same conducive atmosphere that Allah has promised to this verse? We can't. And it is that time that we are waiting for. When the 12th Imam will reappear, that is the promise that Allah has promised. That the whole earth will be such, the rule and kingdom will be such on the whole earth, that it will be conducive for a person to practice his religion of Islam wherever he or she is. No social pressure, no despotic rulers, no tyrants, no sort of, you know, conditions here and there, that this is allowed and this is not allowed. No. Free to practice religion of Islam, full of justice, freedom, as long as those are our ideals. Because we believe in Allah, we work towards those ideals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي اِرْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. At a time when they were scared, when the 12th Imam will reappear, that will change from fear to peace, to security. Mind you, we don't know the signs of the reappearance of the Imam, the times that will get so bad where we will be fearing. I mean, we may not be fearing here. Somewhere along the world, there will be people, Shias, who will fear to practice their own religion. But there'll come a time when that hope will be changed into security. And that will only come with that environment being established where it is conducive to practicing our religion freely, to be able to put our hands on our hearts and say, yes, I believe in this religion. Who is there to do me one? يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِشَيْئًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. That time when people say no, even then, after that kingdom is established, even then people say, no, this is not what we want, then those are the fasiq. So if you go back to now Surah Al-Anbiya, verse number 105 and 106. Again, in verse 106, إِنَّ فِي هَذَا لَبَلَاغًا لِقَوْمٍ عَابِدِينَ. It is a balagh, it is a message. for those worshippers, for the community of worshippers, that is those people who worship. Okay, this is the promise that you will inherit the earth, meaning that that kingdom that you want, that religion to prevail, the religion of Islam to prevail, will definitely come.
Ji. The previous ayah, when it refers to me, is that the one that you were talking about in the time of the Prophet?
Sorry?
The previous ayah, Al-Nur, 55.
Surah Al-Nur, you were talking about?
When he talks of
his company. That is the
time of the Prophet,
ne? It's the time of the Prophet. That is why this particular verse is first applied to people who moved from Makkah to Medina. That this kingdom was established. That peace that they wanted, that they could not get in Makkah, was found in Medina. You see, I am not going into riwayats, the riwayats that are there where the Holy Prophet has said that even if only one day was left for the Qiyamah to come, then Allah would make that day so long that until the Qa'im would come and establish the kingdom and establish peace and justice on this earth the way it was filled with injustice and evil. Now, that those ahadith that are found in Sunni books as well, there are so many ahadith. So I'm not looking at that. We're just looking at verses in the Holy Quran that would give us a direction or indication. Surah Tawbah, verse number 33. We'll end with this particular verse. Surah Tawbah, verse number 33. Right. If you read the verse says, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. The key word here is ليظهره. Yeah, because ليظهره can be, if you look at the English translation, what does it say? English translation says? ليظهره. Prevail. Prevail what? Political power, numbers, the logic and rationale of religion, religious superiority meaning. Over. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ has to have one kind of a meaning. That it shall, for example, prove to be the most correct religion compared to other religions. Okay, people have come with different messages in the past. People are practicing different religions. The Holy Prophet has come with this message and Allah will make sure this religion prevails. Now he says he will make it prevail in what way? Okay, that is the most correct religion, logically and intellectually and rationally. Or will it be the most powerful religion as in terms of numbers of followers and political power? What is it? And if you look at the different riwayat that are there, you find that this prevalence, as it says, لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ is practically in three stages that we were talking about. That the first stage was that the Meccans were so sure that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not gain superiority because of this new message. Yet, within 12 or 13 years, the Prophet proved them wrong after he left Mecca. After he left Mecca, he proved to them that even Mecca fell to them. So, finally, that religion, Islam, was established not only in Medina, but in Mecca, in the whole of Saudi Empire, the Arabian Peninsula. Now, that was the promise of fulfillment of this verse. At that time, that was the first stage. The second stage was during the time of the Muslim rulers when Islam spread. Islam spread far and wide. Right? Now, the third stage and the final stage will be when Prophet Isa will reappear and even he will give allegiance to our Imam, proving that Christianity will then just die a natural death. Right? That will be the third and final phase of prevalence of Islam over every other possible religion on this earth. And that is the time when the 12th Imam will reappear and establish this rule of Islam, inshallah. Ji.
At what stage did the Prophet actually start becoming a threat to the Makkans?
Ji.
At what stage did he actually start becoming a threat to the Makkans?
At what stage does it?
Did the Prophet actually start becoming a threat to them? I mean, clearly it was before he left for Medina.
Of course. It was, I think that was why he had to move out.
But why did he start becoming a threat to them?
Because the youngsters started following him. People were losing their kids to the Holy Prophet.
Because they promised him everything. So that was a big promise. You know, they promised the Prophet, leave your religion, we'll give you everything. We'll make you a king and this and this.
The Prophet did not accept that.
No, but I'm saying there must be a pretty big threat. Because no one's going to offer that to you or me. You know, they offered it to him. When, I'm trying to say, what threat was there? Because he wasn't politically very powerful then.
His effect on the new generation was so strong that the most difficult thing was the frustration the Quraysh faced, that they couldn't pin any scandals on him. They tried sort of sorcerer chain and magician chain and all that, but they couldn't pin any kind of scandals on him, kya chor chain, kya khotaro chain. They couldn't do that. So they knew that there was something that would attract youngsters. And the younger generation of Mecca were already. That was the threat to it. It's the way I see it.
I think also he was a danger to the way they lived, their whole society,
their whole system,
structure.
Their whole lifestyle.
Like he was saying, the slave and the master are potentially equal, potentially. And that whole hierarchy was going to, if Islam prevailed, it would change the social structure of the whole. They didn't want to let go of that. No, his main enemies were the Quraysh, the nobles, because they would lose everything on the back of that. Although they gained it after his death.
Right. Any other questions? I'm going to light your desk paper, Rakhwa, so that I know. If as we talk and discuss, if we had one of you to go to, say for example, a university or a school, there are 5 Sunni brothers and Jerry Rakhwa, if I had a bullet, what do you say? Would you be able to answer?
One more ayah, please.
28:6.
Yeah.
Surah Yes, 5 and 6.
Okay, before you say anything,
ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين ونمكن لهم في الأرض ونري فرعون وهامان وجنودهما. Yeah. I haven't finished. The 2 verses that we have done today. Time is coming to an end, 9:15. I have already spoken for 1 hour and 15 minutes, continuous. With very little interference.
Sambar told me.
Huh?
Sambar told me.
That's a good one. No, I actually mean it when I say, okay, look, are the benefits of the lesson coming through? If I have a Sunni, I'm not going to have a lesson.
Look, Sambar had a thing.
Is on next Monday, guys. I don't think there is any.